Who's Chuck Grindel? You might be asking. Well, he's the production manager, usually the other side of the camera. This week, he's at the desk with Dutch Savage, who of course usually announces the matches for Portland Wrestling, the matches to come up in the week. And why is Chuck there? Well, in this episode of Portland Wrestling from the 25th of September 1982, that morning, they got the news that longtime announcer Frank Bonomer had been rushed to hospital, and it was a cardiac ward, and they hope that he will make a full recovery. And we do know that that's not the case, so Frank will pass fairly soon. I think it's in October, and they're not to know that at this time. And what this does, although Frank's work was great, and you know, I know I've ragged on him a bit, but he's got a very easy way about him and a very kind of welcoming way. And he was announcer and colour man and everything else. It takes two of them to replace him this week. He did that for about 17 years. I think it was 17 years for Portland Wrestling. And what Chuck Grindel, who has never done this before, and Dutch Savage, who's never done a whole program before, what they do is they really work together well. So Chuck really feeds Dutch Savage. He asks him questions. So how tall would this guy be? Well, how'd you get out of that move? And Dutch Savage just gives us loads and loads of insight. And it's just a different take on things. At this point, by the way, Frank is in a stable condition. And I'm not sure whether he does come back to Portland Wrestling and then sadly passes. But we'll see what happens next week. But this week, it's a bit odd because Frank's not there. And Dutch keeps referring to Chuck as Frank because they're great friends. They were great friends. And but them together really add something to, not because it's better, but because it's different to this week's Portland Wrestling. What we also have this week in Portland Wrestling is Vince McMahon. Now, he's there with Buddy Rose, who we know is taking a trip to the East Coast and working for that promotion for the WWF at this point, I think. But more of that in a minute, because I never expected to see Vince McMahon at this time doing a segment in which he mentioned a wrestler who is really fighting or wrestling for the other side. That's not the case at this point, but it will be in a few years' time. More of that in a minute. The first match we have here is Steve Pardee, who you know is a local boy. He's come back, had his head shaved in a match, I think with Buddy Rose, and left the area. Dutch insinuates it's through embarrassment, and he's gone away and learnt and come back. And he's facing TJ Stone, who was really a preliminary wrestler. Don't think we won any belts in Portland, but he has a damn good go, you know. And Pardee works a headlock. Dutch is giving really good insight throughout this. You know, this is how you get out of the move. It looks like Stone looks like he weighs about 238 pounds. Well, that's a bit specific. About 238.25652 pounds. And then we've got a slam from Stone, a slam from Pardee, because anything you can do, I can do. Boring. And then back to the headlock for absolutely ages. That's a feature of this week. We haven't got Buddy Rose wrestling. We have got some Buddy Rose tape. And that's the highlight, really, of this week's show. Anyway, you've got a leg drop from Stone, or, as they call it, a flat sit-out. I think Frank Bonham has called it that before. A flat sit-out. Then there's a nerve hold, and Dutch tries to tell us how painful and difficult that is. It's not, though, is it? It clearly isn't. A nerve hold. It's a terrible. Never make it look good. Then there's a Stone flying clothesline for a two count. Stone hits a slam and a knee drop for another two count. He's doing rather well on the person who's expected to win, and probably will win. Steve Pardee here is Stone. He's got a good showing, actually. Then Pardee gets his second wind. Gets some shoulders in the corner, a backdrop, a flying back elbow for a two count, and then an abdominal stretch. Then an abdominal stretch for the pin. An abdominal stretch! It's like getting a pin from a wrist lock takeover. But this is 1982, and you could do that sort of thing then, couldn't you? It actually wasn't too bad. So, we've got Mike Miller next versus Terry Gibbs. Mike is not liked. He's a good nefarious heel. Terry is very well liked. He's a babyface with lots of jeering. Dutch gives us more insight into this. They get some good mat work to begin with. A good Gibbs arm drag and an arm bar. It's good because it's worked. Then there's a strange moment when Mike Miller won't stop grabbing hold of Terry Gibbs, and the referee, Luke Brown, tells him to do so. He doesn't. So Luke Brown grabs his hair. Grabs Mike Miller's hair and pulls him back. You can't do that as a ref, can you? I mean, later on he will do the sort of you're holding onto the ropes when you've got a pin, so I'm going to kick you the rope. He doesn't kick the ropes, though. He kicks his arm. He's a bit hardcore, this ref, I'll tell you that. Now, we've got another arm bar. I mean, we don't need that, really. And a Terry Gibbs elbow drop to the arm, back to the arm bar. At least he's working a body part now. Now, Miller gets a knee to the back of the head, which is very nice, and a bear hug. Terry Gibbs as well. He fights it. And then Dutch fills in on... it's a great moment, actually, on all the fans they've got. On the size of the territory, compared to some places, they've got more fans than other territories, which might seem larger. It's great because, you know, geographically, they're bigger. It gives us really great insight. I really like it. Back in the ring, you've got a Mike Miller eye rake, and he goes back to the bear hug. We don't really need the bear hug for about 10 minutes. We don't need it. It's a move that lasts about a minute and a half. Either someone fights out of it by doing an ear clap, or you get a win out of it, don't you? That's basically what happens. So, Gibbs misses a drop kick. Miller follows that up with a knee drop, and then Gibbs gets hyped up, just like Pardee did, gets his second wind. And then it's quite good, actually. He carries Miller into an atomic drop. The atomic drop, you'd think, oh, it's only an atomic drop. But because he carried him there, it looks like it's got a bit more torque on it. He gets the pin out of that. So it's a good job there's a bit more torque on it, because if there wasn't, I'd be going, an atomic drop, blimey, I don't know. Now, here's the first of two Buddy Rose segments. It's a day in the life of Buddy Rose. He shows us Mount St. Helens, which is a local northwestern... It's a volcano, isn't it, that exploded around this time. And it's talking about things to see in the northwest, I think. There's Mount St. Helens and him. Then it cuts to him on Waikiki Beach in Hawaii with two women. He says he's a winner. He's lying back on the beach. They're manipulating his body, you know, massaging his fingers, things like that. Yeah, apparently so. Then we see him in the wrestling ring and in an ice hockey rink. He scores a goal, but there's not anybody else. I don't even think there's a netminder, is there? I think he just scores into an open net to the sound of "Let's get physical, physical." Because you got Buddy Rose. And he's put some weight on. He has. He has at this time. And with all this kind of, don't you wish you were me, he says. Quick swig of my Coca-Cola. Very nice, actually. Well, I think it's a different kind of cola. But other colas are available. He does that don't you wish you were me stuff. And I'm not quite sure. He again gets in a limo. Goes on a private plane. Where should we go? I don't know. To Mount Hubris? Yes, I think we should. How about Schadenfreude Street? See, Schadenfreude. I nearly couldn't say it, could I? A swig of my coffee. I've got all the drinks going on this evening, you'll see. So anyway, that's the first of the two segments from Buddy Rose. And although it's not brilliant, it's a lot better than what's going on in this wrestling ring. Now, here comes your main event. 2 out of 3 falls. It's Rip Oliver versus Hack Sawyer. Now, Hack Sawyer is your champion again. Northwest champion. Remember, a few weeks ago, he had a hot and heavy tag team with Rocky Johnson, who's now no longer there. I think, from a book I read, he went to the WWWF. And I don't know if they had time to wrap that up, shall we say. So anyway, he's the champ. He gets an early drop kick because he won the championship off Rip Oliver, I think, only a couple of nights before. And then Sawyer is dumped to the outside by Oliver, gets a head scissors for quite some time. It is worked. Oliver's trying to get out of it. Goes for a leg crank, pulls the hair, then achieves his the first pin. So he is... It's nil one, if we're talking about the champion being the first there, to Rip Oliver. And we get to see... Now, this is interesting as well. Lots of things are different this week, including the commentary team, including the segments. We don't usually get segments, do we? This is another segment, and it's showing us that there are other wrestling promotions. Because you know that Hack Sawyer's brother, Buzz, is coming to save Hack. Don't know if Hack really needs to be saved. He is the champion now, so he's not being beaten down all the time, is he? Maybe he's coming to be with him because Rocky's gone, but he's in Georgia Championship Wrestling. So we see him being interviewed against the familiar so dark grey and dark dark blue backing. And we see Georgia Wrestling. It gives us a very emotional, rather over-emotional promo, does Buzz. And yes, he's coming. But you don't usually get to see that, do you? We'll be seeing some more in a bit. Oh, yes. Now, back in the ring, we've got Sawyer taking Oliver down with a wrist lock. Oliver comes back with some stomps. There's a punch to the rib cage as well. That's quite nasty, actually. Yeah, and a kind of sleeper, which Hack Sawyer fights. He fights back out at that. Dutch then points out, and he gives us, as I said, loads of good insight. He tells us that you always need to get the money. And he implies it's okay to cheat as long as you get the money. Because, folks, wrestlers are independent contractors. They're self-contractors. He's giving us loads of stuff. He's pulling back the curtain. I don't know if this was supposed to happen. I know they've been kind of rushed into it because of the situation with Frank. But I don't know if he was supposed to pull back the curtain this much. But I'm delighted he is. And thinking of people who are watching this in 82, on the 25th of September 1982, who don't necessarily know that anything but kayfabe, this would be really interesting for them. It's a real insight into the business. Because, of course, Dutch has been around Portland Wrestling for ages. He's involved in the promotion with Don Owen. He used to be both a babyface and a heel and champion in Portland Wrestling for some time. And he knows what he's doing. It's very interesting. Back in the ring, there is a really nasty Rip Oliver throat thrust. But Sawyer comes back with a rather prosaic sunset flip for the pin. And it's one all. Now, here comes Sandy Barr. You know, the referee who also is promoting the Speedway, which he's doing tonight. He's been in the hospital as well. And Chuck tells him that since you've been in the hospital, it looks like you've gained weight. Well, I mean, all right. All right. No need to say he's fat. That's because he's come out of hospital. I suppose it's a way of saying, you look well, mate. But really, it sounds like he's saying you've gained weight. What have they been feeding you in that hospital? And here comes Hacksaw Sawyer in for an interview, talking about his brother. And it's quite sweet, actually. Dutch says his wife, Willa, he always says goodbye to Willa. Good night to Willa, should I say. Will be delighted because Hack is Willa's favourite. She thinks he's great. It's a nice little segment, actually. Really nicely done and really welcoming, I have to say. And it's good that Dutch gives us some character to this interview, because Hack's not really going to give you that much. Now, back in the ring, we've got a drop kick from Hack Sawyer. But very quickly, the assassin, who's part of the army, of course, with Rip Oliver and, of course, Buddy Rose, who's really the commander of the army, I suppose, he's there, he gets involved, and Rip Oliver is DQ'd. And Hack Sawyer wins. But we have some time left over before we get to Kung Fu. Kung Fu is next. Before we get there, here's Vince McMahon in his powder blue suit. He'll be talking to Buddy Rose in a minute, but what's he going to talk about first? Yeah, Ric Flair is the NWA champ, he tells us. And Buddy Rose will be fighting him. Now, at this point, the WWF was part of the NWA. It's a fascinating historical moment, isn't it? Because very soon, in the next few years, Vince McMahon is going to say, I'm splitting from the NWA. I'll go it alone, thanks. In fact, what I'll do is, I'll gobble up territories. And let's see how you work together then. But here, he's talking about Ric Flair. I mean, he won't talk about Ric Flair at all until Ric Flair is there in the WWF, late 91 into 92, with a digitized belt. He won't talk about him at all until then. And here he is talking about Buddy Rose, and Buddy Rose saying that, and actually producing a, I mean, looks similar, he's dressed in a similar way to McMahon. He's got the nice big sunglasses on and all of that. And he's going to be fighting Ric Flair. But fascinating that Vince McMahon's talking about Ric Flair and the NWA. And a few years later, that won't be the case at all, will it? Now, Kung Fu is next, so better get yourself sorted out, because you want to be there to see the next adventure of Grasshopper. And this was an interesting episode because changes were forced onto them. But actually, Chuck, who we won't see again, I presume, and Dutch do a really good job together. You know, it's like Chuck's the little tyro. You know, he's sitting at, metaphorically, if he was sitting at Dutch's feet, actually, he'd be under the desk. Won't be able to see him, just hear him. That'd be really weird. But they work so well together. Buddy Rose wasn't there, but he was on tape. We don't often see the tape. We saw something from Georgia. And we saw Vince McMahon in a different federation, a different promotion. So different this week. They're opening out and admitting and showing us that different promotions exist. Just a shame that the wrestling didn't show us something new, didn't show us something different. But maybe next week it will. It was good though, good matches. And I'm always excited by Portland wrestling, because you know what? Well, maybe not excited, but delighted, because it has a lovely, warm feeling, no matter who is presenting. But it'll be interesting to see what happens next week, won't it? Ta-ta.